It's a big week in Chicago. We welcome you inside the PNC studio at Halas Hall in front of our friends, the Suite Partners at Soldier Field. I'm Zach Zaidman, joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer, and our guest for the entire hour, defensive lineman Ego Ferguson. And Ego, you got to watch what everyone in Chicago got to watch yesterday, and that was the Cubs advancing to the National League Championship Series. And as a guy who plays a professional sport in this town, you can't help, I think, but think about what could be if that's my team doing what they're doing, right?
Man, what they did yesterday was amazing. Just watching the game, I ended up watching with Jarvis Jenkins, other D lineman. It was interesting from start to finish. That was the first time I actually really watched the whole baseball game, and it was crazy. The fans was in it from the jump.
And that's neat. It does have an influence on the city, and even though it's other sports teams from the Blackhawks to the Bulls to the Bears, it raises expectations of the viewing public, and it's got to raise expectations of yourselves.
Definitely. I feel like any time a team that you're around, you know, in your city that wins, you know, it makes everything much better, you know what I mean? It makes you want to do more for your city.
Tom, what's it like? Because you've been there. You've won a championship.
Yeah, but it's been so far removed. But having able to grow up and watch the Blackhawks be surrounded by this city, watch Michael Jordan through all of his Bulls and all the Bulls championships, and even be around for the White Sox. It's really – because I think the city embraces whatever team is fighting for a championship. I grew up a Sox fan, but I would love to see the Cubs win the championship just as much as the Sox. So the unique thing about it is the Chicago sports rooting community, they do surround whatever team is getting ready to win something.
They're still 8 wins away from winning a championship.
Oh,
There's right. A long way to go, but because of their history in the postseason, what happened yesterday, big, big deal.
Still a first experience for everybody who was watching.
Yeah, no one got a chance to watch the Cubs clinch anything at home in the postseason. That's never happened.
Right. And, you know, I think that's a unique thing about it is that's why I think they have a captivated audience outside the Chicagoland market. I think it almost goes worldwide because everybody knows and has seen movies about how bad the Cubs have been over generations and generations. Now they're finally seeing what can happen if everything works in the right direction.
And there's so many connections between the two organizations. When the Decatur Staleys moved to Chicago, they were named the Chicago Staleys in 1921, and then George Halas had the ability to change the name of the team beginning in 1922, and because the Bears initially played at Wrigley Field, he decided to name them Bears because he felt football players' ego were bigger than baseball players, and the baseball players were named the Cubs, so he named them the Bears. And, you know, the Cubs have not won a championship at Wrigley Field, but the Bears have multiple championships at Wrigley Field. And George McCaskey was at the game the last, not just yesterday, but the day before that, wearing a Bad News Bears jersey. And rooting on the Cubs, grew up a Cubs fan because, again, the Bears used to play at Wrigley Field. To me, it's just an enormous experience, and it allows you to think about what this city would be like if you guys ever put yourselves in a position to do what they're doing. And Vic Fangio is the other big connection. Your boss, your defensive coordinator. Do you hear what he said last week about the Cubs? He made a big deal about how, you know, he came over from San Francisco where he was the 49ers' defensive coordinator. He said before he moved to San Francisco, the Giants had never won a World Series in San Francisco. They won 3 during his time in the Bay Area. Before that, he was the defensive coordinator in Houston. The Astros had never been to the World Series, but while he's there coordinating the Texans, the Astros go to the World Series for the first time. So today he was asked about the Cubs, and he goes, it's in the bag. They're going to win.
So, Coach Vic, a good luck charm, huh?
Yeah, and he knows everything, right? I mean, you know. You sit in the meeting rooms with this guy. He's brilliant.
He's a professor in the meeting room now. He's definitely a wizard out there.
Where has he made you better as a player?
Understanding football as a whole, you know what I mean? A lot of people don't take that for granted, but understanding football as a whole, understanding how to see different things before the snap. A lot of pre-snap stuff he even brought to my game and just a down and distance and situation like that.
Yeah, but how did he convince you that you were capable of doing that? You came from a different position, had a different mindset your first couple of years in the NFL, and then everything's going to change. You kind of got to change your style a little bit, where you're associated on the line of scrimmage, and then your responsibility after the ball is snapped. How long did it take you to convince yourself that, look, I can do this at this level and not change my game?
When Coach Vic first got here, I felt like, you know, it was my first time playing in 3-4 defense, but I also felt like, you know, that athleticism I was blessed with and just the hard work I always put in that flat, I can make the transition pretty easy. But he helped me out a lot. Coach Jay Rogers spent a lot of extra time with me, just understanding the 3-4 philosophies, understanding the overhang you have, and understanding what you're really getting out there.
You know, you said you've been a defensive lineman your whole life. And you look at some of the jerseys out here, of the number of Hester, Brandon Marshall, Richard Dent, Olin Kreutz, Matt Forte. But then you wore number 9 in college. All these ones are associated to the position they play. You're a defensive lineman, and you wear number 9. Why did you do that, and was that your choice or not?
It definitely was my choice. I wore number 9 from high school, and I just felt like it was different. You know, I wanted to be a little different.
Were you a defensive lineman in high school, too, wearing number 9?
I was an athlete.
So then you finish up at a military academy. Did LSU recruit that military academy regularly, or did Eagle Ferguson shine?
I mean, that program I went to is a historic program, a Hargrave Military Academy. You had guys like Charles Grant, Torrey Holt. So the proof was already there. You know, the coaches already knew about the spot. I just was able to go there, you know, to finish my last year, and LSU was always recruiting me.
Was the life discipline, though, at a military academy?
Yeah, it was real. I'm not going to lie. You know, 5 o'clock wake-ups, formation, bed checks, cleanup. You know, it was a different lifestyle for me. Changed me a little bit.
Good for you.
And then he got to play for Les Miles. Oh, we'll discuss next. Ego Ferguson is here. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from the PNC studio at Hallis Hall, in front of our friends, the Sweet Partners from Soldier Field, on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, covering the world of Bears football on and off the field with Anthony Adams and Lauren Screed, and brought to you by Jimmy John's, and airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. This week on the show, Sam Acho recites Shakespeare. See, Eagle's laughing because you can envision that happening as Acho goes for a ride in Big Guys in Compact Cars. Have you been in a car there?
Yeah, me and Double A was in that little car together.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Double A play football? Have you ever seen any of his tape? Or
I watched a little bit of him. I haven't really, like, just sat down and studied his tape, but I watched him.
I just keep bringing it up because there's a generation of people that know him because he's a funny guy on that TV show, and he does a lot. But he's a really good football player. And sometimes, you know, in the different bit of a gap, you don't get an appreciation for how good he was.
Yeah, I know one thing that Double A taught me on the run was the way he played double teams here, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I got the chance to watch him play double teams, and he's legit.
He gets them right.
Yeah, he's strong man.
That's rookie, what he's built for.
Yeah, he's a run plugger. You were initially a run – well, we'll get to that in a second. Rookie Adrian Amos is going to talk about life in the NFL on that show, and there's going to be an impressive – Dick Butkus collection by a fan, something you do not want to miss. Inside the Bears, covering the world of Bears football every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago. Zach Zidman here along with 85 Bear Tom Thayer, and our guest for the full hour, Bears defensive end in this scheme, Ego Ferguson. We are live from the PNC studio at Hallis Hall for another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, in front of our friends, Sweet Partners from Soldier Field. And at LSU, you were the traditional 4-3. They use you to stop the run right in the middle there for Les Miles.
Yeah, it was LSU, first of all, is one of the best places I've ever been to, you know, and I feel like we're going to the championship this year. Let me just get that out there.
Oh.
Yeah, call it out early.
Yeah, well, as a Syracuse fan watching Leonard Fournette run around the Carrier Dome a few weeks ago, man, could you stop him?
Could I stop him?
Yeah.
What you think?
He's good.
He good, but he ain't the NFL good yet, man.
Hey, people are saying that he should stop playing next season because he's not eligible for the NFL after this year. There are people that are saying, hey, he should not play college football next season just to make sure that he stays healthy and just train for the NFL the year after that.
I feel like that's not going to happen. Just knowing him, you know, his drive to play the game, he's very passionate about the sport he plays. You know,
he's really passionate about LSU. I heard him come out with a statement after. He goes, I could never leave my brothers behind and go and do something like that. And LSU must have a strong attachment to his players. I don't know if it's LSU or Les Miles, but one of those two have a really strong attachment to that school.
Like for me, it was the purple and gold, you know, the history behind it, the guys you came to school with. Like, when I walked in the defensive line room my first year, out of those 12 guys, I think 9 are in the league right now.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And you don't see numbers like that in any college program. And we just keep producing, you know what I mean, every year. And it's like we get younger and younger. Like, people always think that just because we lose people to the draft that we're going to be sorry, but it's never that case. We always rebuild.
After Katrina, the Bears played New Orleans Saints at your stadium, and it's kind of an intimidating college atmosphere because you go down to that stadium, it's a big concrete with all the surroundings on the outside and everything. I could imagine it on a college football Saturday. It must be insane.
Ain't nothing like a Saturday night in Death Valley.
Tom, they have a real live tiger
right.
in a cage as you come in. That's scary.
Yeah, I mean.
If you get too close.
Yes. Robbie Gould, by the way, was playing back then, won the game against the Saints, right?
Yes.
Game-winning field goal, and he's doing it ever since then, even last week becoming the all-time scorer in the history of the Chicago Bears organization dating back to 1920. Impressive stuff. But I want to get back to something that Tom talked about with Fournette. You know, he grew up in the Ninth Ward in New Orleans, an area that was just destroyed by Hurricane Katrina, and always was an LSU fan, and that's why Fournette is there now. And you talked about how much he loves the purple and gold. You did too, but you left early. How hard was that decision for you to make to leave school?
I feel like each person have a decision to make with their lives. You know, each person got a different life. But when I made that decision, it was tough because some nights I think about it before I made the decision. I was dreaming about going back to school. It took to the end to make that decision. But I feel like with a player like him, you know, he's not going to sit out next year. Ain't no way possible. He's going to play.
When you were a rookie, and it's not easy being a rookie in the NFL, were there times where you thought to yourself, did you ever second guess the decision?
I feel like once I made the decision, I kind of like let it go. But before I made the decision, I was going back and forth a lot.
Was it challenging going through the season that you were last year? Because, you know, the NFL season gets long. And when it's as challenging was last year, I mean, were you young enough to kind of just let it roll, you know, chalk it up to experience? And what did you learn from it? What did you take from it?
I mean, last year, it was like my first year in the NFL, so everything was new to me. You know, I was just soaking everything in and just, you know, even though we was losing, at the same time, I was having a great experience in life. I'd never been to a place like this before. And so it didn't really soak into me to losing, but just enjoying the year and being a part of the NFL, that made everything.
And seeing how it is now compared to the way it was last season, night and day, right?
Big difference.
How does it affect you on the field and off the field?
It make you carry yourself a big different. You know, I feel like last year, you know, as a rookie, I didn't know what to expect. You know what I mean? It's kind of like everything was new to me. This year, I kind of know the road already. So it kind of made me carry myself differently. And then winning games the way we're winning right now and having a spirit behind us, you know what I mean? It's a lot different.
In training camp, when we came out there and the music was blaring and everything, did you dance? Because I know Will Sutton danced a lot. And you guys came in. I thought I caught you one time dancing in line when you were – going through your basic drills.
I think I did like a little two-step, but I don't dance.
I like that. See?
How do you like that atmosphere, though, of this training camp where you had a lot of life, a lot, you know, not encouragement from the coaches. Your guys were learning a lot and everything, plus you had the music going.
It felt like almost like a college atmosphere almost, you know what I mean? The practices started to get live and entertaining, you know what I mean? It was more competition out there. It was more like passion out there.
Chippiest last practice of a training camp I've seen in probably 15 or 20 years around here. And I was kind of happy as the outsider and a season ticket holder and everything going, man, if this is an indication what the Bears have to come, this is good.
And explain to people what you mean, because I believe I'm thinking of Kyle Long was involved.
Well, it started between Will Montgomery and Jeremiah Ratliff. That's how it all got underway, and then it kind of spilled over to everybody who was involved. But you know what I mean, chippiness, right? Just, you know, don't push me too hard. I'm sensitive today, that kind of stuff. It was hot. It was the last day of training camp. And sometimes you fall into the rhythm that the last day of training camp is the coach is going to take it easy on us. We're going to get out of here, and the season's underway. It wasn't like that at all. It was a live physical, and it just kept getting more physical every period. So, I know, just from an outsider, I like to see what you guys were doing at that point.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Coach kind of let us know that the mindset for the last practice was going to be turned up. You know what I mean? He wanted us to know that it wasn't going to be an easy one, and he wanted the aggressive nature.
For a young guy, that's a great lesson for you.
Yes, sir.
All right, as we head to the break here, Ego, give me your best Les Miles story during your time at LSU.
Best Les Miles story. It's too many to come with one. Coach Miles has a lot of great stories. I mean, with the hat, the tradition with the hat, he never takes it off. He wears the same hat for the last, like, 3 years, I want to say.
Let's take a break. Think of one. We'll come back on the other side. And also, if you think things got chippy in that last training camp practice, I think something has changed with this Bears defense ever since that Arizona game. We'll discuss next. Ego Ferguson is here. So is Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabeman. This is Bears All Access in front of our sweet partners from Soldier Field at the PNC Studio at Halas Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tune in to the Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, with Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff, Monday nights at 6:30 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Jeff is your partner on game day. Tom Thayer is here, the 85 Bears. So's Ego Ferguson, the Bears defensive end. I'm Zach Zaidman. We are live at the PNC Studio at Halas Hall. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, in front of our sweet partners from Soldier Field. And, man, Tom, what an exciting game. What an exciting fourth quarter finish that the two of you had to call the other day.
Yeah, getting to a mind of Ego Ferguson, a defensive player, you know the offense takes control of the football with 2 minutes and 4 seconds this week, 2:05 last week. You're not going to sit on the bench. You're going to be on the sideline. You're going to be watching. You're going to be cheering. How is it for you as a fan of football watching your team march down there and then having Matt make a catch like that?
First of all, it's unreal, you know, being able to watch guys like Matt Forte and Jay, who you grew up watching. You know, people don't realize I grew up watching Matt Forte. You know,
from Tulane, correct.
Yeah, so being able to watch him make plays like that, it's kind of hard to not, like, to be a fan at the same time.
Right.
But to be on the sideline supporting, so kind of like you got to, like, hold your emotions a little bit, but at the same time be excited. It's hard.
It was weird for me is because when Jay did it with 2:05 on the clock the week before, I wasn't that, like, this is undoable. I don't think they have any chance of doing it. It's almost like, wow, it's the same scenario as last week. Then you kind of, you know, in a short span, we kind of expect it at that point.
Get a little confident.
Right.
You know what was interesting, though, is there was a while there where the offense wasn't doing anything. It's just one of those games where it took – and Pernell McPhee went over to Kyle Long. It was 17-3 in that second half. And McPhee goes up to Long and goes, we're going to get you the ball back. You just get your guys ready. And he did. You know, he blocks the kick, and then the Bears' offense just picked up a little bit of life when that happened. What's Pernell like, man?
And probably one of the best players to go to war with. He's going to be the last guy with you fighting to the end. He got that mindset that he's not going to stop. If we got 1 second on the game, he don't care what the score is, he's going to get that last play is all.
You know, it's amazing because when you see him block a field goal like that, you don't really realize the exactness and the specific timing that it takes to make a play that cleanly in those conditions, because he attacked an offensive lineman that was perfectly enough off balance and then made his body small enough with speed to get to a spot where it was blocked. And you have to watch it or be, you know, watch tape a lot just to enjoy what Pernell McPhee did at that moment, because there's a lot of guys in the NFL that just take that down off. Pernell went and made a play on that down. It's a completely different mindset.
His motor is at a different level. I mean, Ego, you know, and he's got so much respect because of the way he leads you guys and plays that when he comes back to the sideline, there's a little area at the end of the Bears bench where the defense sits. There's like a little Gatorade canister, and other people will sit on it. But if Pernell comes and he points at you, you get up. That's his seat, right?
Yeah, he liked the little Gatorade box. He likes sitting right there.
What was it like? Because we heard a lot about the 2 weeks ago, but before the Oakland game, how he had you guys lock arms. But then what a lot of people don't know is he also spoke to you guys before this game against Kansas City. I guess Robbie Gould got up, showed a picture of the Super Bowl and trophy, and he was saying, this is what I play for. And the rest of the leaders spoke too, including Pernell.
Yeah, we had Matt Slauson speaking, Pernell speaking, Jay speak. And they're just kind of stories that related to life, you know what I mean? Each person gave their perception of what they're here for. And, you know, they touch home, you know what I mean? Everybody's here for the same goal.
But do you feel like you've grown up a lot, you know, in a short amount of time? Because you kind of have to in the NFL. You don't have 3 years to be on the practice squad and sit around and watch how things go. You got here. You were drafted. Hi. You got to play. So you've had to, you know, be a young guy that has grown up a lot in the last, you know, even less than 2 year period of time.
Yeah, one thing they told me when I first got here, ain't no red shirt in the NFL.
Right.
You know what I mean? So either you're a producer, you're going. It's either one or two.
All right, give me the Les Miles story. He's the LSU coach. You know him because he wears that cap without, you know, kind of fixing the brim there. And he just has an interesting way of speaking.
Yeah. Okay, I can give you a story from 2012. We went out to play Florida, and they beat us by 2 points. And one of their players, I think it was Dominic Easley, made a comment at the end of the game that they took our will. And so for the whole offseason, he kept playing the same remark over and over. Wherever he was at, he was in meetings, he would play it. If we was on the field, it would come on the speakerphone. So he kept playing it over and over again. We got to play them that next year. And I never seen somebody so mad from Monday to when we played on Saturday. And he took that personal, you know what I mean? It wasn't no rah-rah speech. It wasn't no, it was one of them, we're going to go out there and destroy it, and we're going to take their will type stuff. And the mindset we came that next year, it was unbelievable. That was one of the best games I played in.
When you had a chance to start your first game at LSU, who told you about? Was it your defensive coordinator, or is there some way of being recognized for your first opportunity?
Brick Haley, our D-line coach.
He used to be here
with the Bears, yep. And kind of just came to me and told me some nice choice words I can't say on set. But you better be ready, basically what he said.
And what about in the NFL? How are you alerted to that?
It's just by week. You know, you go in there and we have a depth chart.
And a defensive lineman is, if once you're part of the rotation, you're a starter. It's just a matter of when you go into the game. So is that what you just wanted to look to make sure that you could get in the rotation and contribute wherever you have to up and down the line of scrimmage, especially this year? Because you can't just be a one-dimensional player.
Yeah, one thing that we were told when they first got here to our new coaches was that, the 3-4 defense, we need guys to be able to play multiple positions. Because we never know which week we want to have one guy inside, one guy outside. You never could be one-dimensional. So everybody knows every position up front.
I think for me it clicked that you could do it when in training camp there's one time that you got really into Jermon very good. And, I said, okay, Ego, he can win the game of leverage. He's got strength, and he can make offensive tackles move backwards. Because it's different when you're sitting there and you play against – stationary guards or centers, then you get a little bit of exposure of space, and that was the neat thing. That's been the neat transition for you.
Yeah, 3-4 defense is it's a lot better than last year. I feel like playing the nose, you kind of stuck in the phone booth. Right.
Yeah, that's
at the end position, you get a little bit more freedom out there to get off the ball a little bit. You get to take more chances out there.
The body styles you're playing against are a lot different, too, from week to week when you play offensive tackles instead of like a 6'3", 330-pound frame.
Yeah, you get a little light work, Right. I love when I get tight ends over there. Right. That's a field day.
You're looking at the sleeker version of Ego Ferguson. You were bigger last year. You're a much smaller player now.
Yeah, I was like 15 pounds heavier last year.
How'd you lose the weight?
Discipline. I just took this offseason a little more serious as a professional. I kind of got down on my diet. Was strict on myself and just dedicated myself to what I wanted to do.
What's the thing that you had to give up most that's just killing you?
Hot wings. Man, I probably could survive off hot wings. You know what I mean? That was the hardest thing for me.
Not in the NFL, though.
Nah, I can't do it now.
Yeah, now you're all healthy all the time now.
I mean, I have my cheat day every now and then. I went to Hell's Chicken a couple times after the game, you know what I mean, got right.
But it's nice that the offering here is, as a professional, that they give you an opportunity to eat as well as you ever have in your life before with what they offer you.
Yeah, they definitely offer you both sides, you know what I mean. You come here and you got the nutrition side with Jen and everything like that. And people don't realize how much nutrition means to you until you get to the NFL. And
right.
People's bodies start breaking down. You start to see different things.
Just cramp up once. Get have a full body cramp, and you know how important nutrition and hydration is.
Man, you spend one Bears All Access with Matt Forte, you'll learn how important nutrition is. The guy hasn't had caffeine or soda since, I don't know, he was probably like 10 years old.
He's one of the most dedicated guys to the nutrition that I've met so far.
Yeah, and he worries about inflammation, healing properly. That's why it's not a secret. It's not a surprise why he's been able to have the career that he's had, because he keeps himself healthy. We'll come back, a lot more to discuss with Ego Ferguson, including, I was talking with Jeremiah Ratliff last week, and he was salivating at the chance to finally get a chance to play with this defense and make some plays. He talked about the freedom to play in this defense. We'll talk about what that means next with Ego Ferguson, live from the PNC studio at Hallis Hall in front of our friends from Soldier Field, the Sweet Partners. Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are having some fun here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live in the PNC studio at Hallis Hall in front of our good friends, the Sweet Partners from Soldier Field, watching this. Ego Ferguson is our guest, so is Tom there. And I'll explain why I was laughing to start the segment. So right before we get back on the air, Tom goes, hey, Zach, do you think you can beat Ego Ferguson in a 40? And I was about to answer, and before I even said anything, Ego just looks at me, eyes popping out of his head. I think the clean version is no chance. We got to do something for charity. No, I'll pull a hamstring. I mean, are you kidding me?
How about if you had to bench like 115 and Ego did 225? Who would do more?
Ego would do everything better and longer and faster than I could. I'll give you an example. For example, last week, you know, the Bears had their passing drills at Arrowhead Stadium right before the game, and there was an errant pass that Cameron Meredith, one of the rookie receivers, couldn't catch, right? So it starts rolling by next to me, and Cam just kind of, like, gives me the double nod, like, hey, throw the ball back. And, you know, I pick it up, and, you know, I wasn't thinking anything of it. I was about to throw, and I'm telling you, this duck that I threw his way.
Just underhand.
Right. I should have just snapped it to him backwards. It would have looked prettier, right?
Underhand it and walk away.
And he just... He looked at me like he caught the ball, and he just looked at me because I don't think he can ever have respect for me again after after what I attempted to do.
Are you sure it wasn't Jay throwing the ball at you?
No, that happened in Baltimore a few years back. Oh, Tom, it was scary. All of a sudden, you know, I had my back turned to Jay, and all of a sudden I hear, hey, Zach, and I turn around. And he unleashes this laser. And, you know, when you have a quarterback with a strong arm, this is what it sounds like. You know what I'm talking about. Right? Just went right through my hands, and this is what it sounded like.
It went through your hands and hit you?
No, it did not hit me. The only time I've been hit by a ball, you'll love this, Ego. Hall of Fame game, 2005. You remember this? I'm on the sideline, and Nick Novak, he's a kicker now in the NFL, but he was trying out for the Bears, and, you know, he's just kind of warming up along the sidelines, and for whatever reason, it ricocheted off the kicking net backwards, and, you know, I'm watching the field of play because I don't think people realize, that's another story for another time, but all of a sudden, I see this shadow, the ball, the pointed end, bam, right into my face. Headphones go flying, microphone goes flying, and the trainers come over, and they're, like, holding their fingers in front of me. How many fingers am I holding? And they're laughing, right? And I'm thinking, thank goodness no one upstairs saw it. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the broadcast, I hear Tom Thayer, who doesn't miss a thing, even on the sidelines, start laughing, and he mentioned it on the air. But the reason I bring this up is, from my vantage point on game day on the sidelines, I don't think, Tom, people realize how fast these players are. And I'm talking, guys, Ego, what's your how big are you right now?
I'm like 295.
Right? And people don't realize how fast can you run?
Like a fofo.
I mean, that is not.
You have to run as fast as you need to in order to get your job done, according to that play.
Yes, sir.
And when it counts, when it's a real game day, I'm not talking about these mamby-pamby preseason games. I'm not talking about a practice. But when it really counts, and people are, and you're getting paid to play, right? It's violent.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, you're coming into a game, and last week Detroit threw the ball 70 times. So when you're rushing the passer, that there's a guy in front of you defending for the quarterback, and you got to use every bit of your speed if you were running a race straight ahead against this guy. I think as an offensive lineman, it's got to be more fatiguing for defensive lineman to rush the passer 70 times.
Yeah, that's a lot of passing going on 70 times right there.
In 85-degree temperature. I mean, that's what you guys were dealing with yesterday.
Well, no, you know, you go to Detroit, whether it's 85 or 55, it's still an exhausting effort that you have to give, you know, to rush 70 times.
Yeah, because, I mean, what Detroit does good, you know, it get the ball out quick, you know, so a lot of rushes don't get there. And you coming out the stack with screens and players coming across the middle, it's a lot of running involved.
Arizona early in the game, Detroit, Matthew Stafford got the defensive lineman to jump. He let him come, and he threw a long pass to Golden Tate. Still took a shot by one of the rushing defensive linemen. But do you like to play in an atmosphere where you cannot hear the quarterback's voice and his commands, or do you like to play in a stadium that you like to hear him, to trying to get into his voice rhythm?
I mean, I feel like I like when the crowd's on our side, you know what I mean? Like, I love home games, you know, get the quarterback riled up, to get the silent cadence, you know what I mean, to make them use more talking. You know, that when people talk more and more room for error. You know
right.
What I mean? So with the O-line, you know, trying to communicate in a stadium like the Bears Stadium and stuff like that, you know, I love situations
Have
like
you
that.
Just become accustomed now just to reacting to the movement in the football and kind of making all that noise irrelevant, or?
Yeah, I feel like as a D-lineman, the most important thing is the ball. You got to watch the ball.
Right.
Ball moves, he's gone. You don't even waste time. So I was talking with Ratliff, your teammate up front, last week, and man, he was so excited to get back in this defense because he talked about how Vic Fangio, I think he called him a boss, because he gets in a room, he talks, you know exactly what he's telling you is going to work on game day, and he has this tremendous way of being able to describe things and break things down for you. But then once you get on the field, he talked about the freedom that the defensive line now has. What does that mean? Compared to, say, last year when you were in the 4-3, what kind of freedom do you have now?
Just more of the communication between the guys up front, the three. You know, we got a lot of calls that we can make on a fly, you know, in the game situation that he give us, you know, chances to make, you know what I mean? He kind of, like, let you go out there and be players, you know what I mean? He, like, said at the end of the day, he don't want us to be robots. He want us to play, you know what I mean? So it's a lot of stuff that we can call out there that, you know, he let us do.
Are you designated where you're only one position, or are you just designated as one of the defensive linemen, and no matter where we put you in, go in and be successful?
Just one of the defensive linemen. Wherever coach want me to be at, I'll go.
So after the Kansas City game, Pernell McPhee goes, the General Shea was lost for the game. The play caller, the guy on defense that's calling out the signals, was out because he had a knee injury. So a new guy took over calling the plays in the huddle. They call him Cheese. What's he like as a play caller? We'll discuss next with Ego Ferguson. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. We are live at the PNC studio at Hallis Hall in front of our sweet partners from Soldier Field, Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on live from the PNC studio at Hallis Hall in front of our friends, Soldier Field sweet holders. Tom Thayer is here. So is Ego Ferguson, the Bears defensive end slash... I mean, you're everything. You're a slash now when you play defensive line for Vic Fangio in this 3-4 defense. Zach Zaidman with you. It's time now for our Sports Authority Player of the Week. Time to decide on that player. The player of the game from the victory over the Kansas City Chiefs. I think it comes down to two guys. I mean, you can include Matt Forte for the catch, but Jay Cutler, big turnaround. I mean, he was on point there in the fourth quarter. And Pernell McPhee. I mean, defensively, man. Unbelievable.
Well, you love those two guys because you vote them every week. You never think outside the box.
All right, help me think outside
the box. You
know,
the first week I had to convince him that Kyle Long should get consideration playing out there with, you know, his hand in the situation it was. So, to me, I think a guy like Charles Leno Jr., his efforts being underappreciated because of the importance, the stadiums he's had to play in, the success he had to have, and how meaningful it is to have any success at that position for your offense to succeed.
Yeah, they got a couple of terrific
pass rushers. I love what Cutler has been able to do and the way that he has brought his teammates all back together in that effort. But when you talk about 70 snaps, 70-plus snaps a game, I really admire what Charles is doing right now.
Okay, speaking of snaps, what about 55? Hronis Grassou, you call him Duck.
I knew Hronis was going to be good. It didn't surprise me.
Why?
Because he's been good since training camp. He's got some real good fundamental instincts, and he's kind of like a half between Olin and Hilgi, because I think he's got the quickness in the hands and the inside of Jay, and I think he's got the strength of growing towards Olin, because Olin was a strong football player when he got here. So I think he's the perfect mix, you know, a little bit taller than Jay. And so I admire what he did, but I like what Leno has been doing.
Okay, that's the offensive side of it. On
Sorry,
defense,
Ego.
I mean, let's hear what Ego has. I mean, Ego played in the game. And
right.
I mentioned Pernell. I mean, I don't think I'm crazy. I mean, Pernell.
Love Pernell. Love the guy.
He made some plays.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to pick one person, I'll probably say either Pernell or Sam Acho.
Really?
A lot of people don't realize that the type of game Sam had, you know, the calls he had to make and covering receivers at outside linebacker. You don't know how hard that is until you get out there.
Right. You know, some of the plays that he makes, they got those three receiver sets way out, and he's got to cover a lot of distance. He kind of explodes the whole formation and still makes the tackle. So I agree. I like with Sam Acho and the way he speaks and his enthusiasm, I like that.
I like the fact that Ego, just like that, made you change your mind. We'll go with Sam Acho. That's thinking outside the box,
right?
Sam Acho, the Bears Sports Authority Player of the Week.
But this argument's kind of weird in the show because it's no slight to Jay's effort or Pernell's effort or even Leroy Reynolds when he came in. And
hey, take it up with Sports Authority.
Okay.
You know, it's not Players of the Week. Right. It's Player of the Week, you know? I mean, if they wanted Players of the Week, we can give them a call. You know, they'll listen to you, and then you can start listing people. By the way, I like what you mentioned about Acho in terms of the calls he has to make, because you lost your middle on the inside. You had Shea McClellan. he's the play caller, the guy who's got that little green sticker on the back of his helmet, so he's listening to the audio calls from the coaches, and then he relays it out to you, and there are things he has to see based on what the offense is doing that he has to call out. When he went down, Christian Jones was given the helmet, but who was the guy calling the plays?
It was Christian. You know, when Shea went down, that's a huge loss right there, because people don't understand how much control Shea has of the defense. So for Christian to step in like that and to get comfortable in there and help us win the game, it was a big step for him.
You know what's good, too, is Lamar and Willie are both taking big advancing forward. They're coming back from injuries, but they're getting better, and they're playing better because of it. Those two guys have fun personalities, and I think their contributions have to – add to a lot of the game day fun.
Yeah, it definitely does. Anytime you get to be out the field, out there on the field, Willie, you should just hear some half the stuff he say out there.
But I do think that his sack that he got this week, you were as responsible for it as he was, because that second of hesitation, you made that guard come to you.
Yeah, it was a little exit route, you know what I mean? He actually called the play, and it came out perfect. You know, he came through, and it was a big play for him. I was happy.
I think when two defensive linemen run the perfect stunt against the offensive lineman and you see it work out in a Willie sack, you do have to pay attention to the other guy. And what did he do to get the offensive lineman on two different levels to make him susceptible? And you guys did a nice job of working that together.
Appreciate that.
I give Willie Young a lot of credit. You know, he came here, and last year, in a defense that he was comfortable with, goes out, gets 10 sacks, but unfortunately gets hurt. Just to get healthy and get back on the field took up essentially his entire offseason. And then he has to, on the fly, learn a new defense that you guys have been learning since the offseason started. Can you kind of give us an idea of just the rigors that he's had to go?
Personally, just me knowing Willie the way I know Willie, the road he went was hard, you know, getting hurt at the end of the season. With his best season he'd had in the NFL, you know, I mean, it was hard and a lot of trials and tribulations he went through. But one thing about Willie, his spirit never got down. You know, one thing about him, he is always up and every day, you know, he always about getting better some way, somehow.
You know, whether you're hurt or healthy, it's about the effort you put into the offseason will dictate your season. So I think you always knew that Willie and Lamar were going to put in the effort in order to get back to the field. But I think that's the judgment of anybody's career. It is about your off-season effort.
I can promise you you're going to get the best that Willie Young has provided in 2015 this weekend in Detroit,
right.
His former team.
Right.
Because he makes no bones. I mean, he's fired up because they gave up on him, basically.
You should see the way he's running around the locker room right now.
tell him to calm down on third down, not to, you know, just, you know, stay on – just stay in the same good tempo that you guys were in.
I think you want to go fishing in Detroit this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And remember that Thanksgiving game. Obviously, it didn't end well for you guys. Does that, I mean, as a guy that has pride, that has to be bothering you guys inside the locker room, because a lot of games did not go your way, and you're seeing a lot of those opponents this year.
Yeah, I mean, every game that we lost last year, I feel like we're taking pride in this year. I feel like last year just was last year, and I feel like we feel like this year we're not the same team. I feel like we don't have the same mindset. I feel like we're on a different mission this year.
Right? Isn't that kind of weird when you prepare for only 1 year away and you're not really watching tape of yourself and how you played your scheme and how you are using your defense, that you have to watch either tape from this year or tape along the way from other teams that play a similar style?
Yeah, it's different, you know, because we're watching a lot of other 3-4 teams, you know, because we don't have the film from last year, obviously. But, I mean, you're just learning from, you know, the teams they played against.
Who right? have you been watching that – matches kind of what you do, your skill set?
I feel like we've been watching Denver a lot, old San Francisco film, just a couple teams like that.
Is there a specific player that you've been looking at?
Like Justin Smith. I like the way Justin Smith plays.
That guy was a stud. When San Francisco brought him there as a free agent, I already thought he was kind of over the hill, but he played his best football in that system at the latter part of his career.
Yeah, Justin Smith definitely gets all the respect from me.
Yep.
And soon, Willie hopes that offensive linemen are saying that about him. It's just the ego, not Willie. Although Willie's going to have the big game Sunday in Detroit. Let's take a break. We'll come back. More with Ego Ferguson. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access in front of our friends, the Sweet Partners from Soldier Field at the PNC Studio at Halas Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Spend game day with the Chicago Bears Network, starting with Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare at 10:30 Sunday morning on Fox 32 Chicago. And after the game, Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW at 10:35 p.m. after the final word on Fox 32 Chicago. Tom Thayer is here. He's smiling. That's dangerous. Ego Ferguson is our guest. I'm Zach Zabin. We are live in front of our sweet partners from Soldier Field at the PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority. Why are you smiling, Tom?
No, just because you talk to younger players and you talk about something that went on in your career that's different than theirs, and they go, yeah, I always hear about how it was in the old days. And, you know, when you sit here and your time is starting to talk about as the old days.
Yeah, but to make you feel better, a lot of the fans sitting here watching you, they've come up to you and said, man, Tom, you're still in great shape. See, so they recognize.
Dark, solid colors. That's what I've been taught. If you're a little chubby underneath, just wear dark, solid colors.
Oh, man.
As you see, it's all blue.
Look at him. The tricks of the trade. So help me understand, what were you guys specifically, what has changed dramatically since travel, nutrition?
You know, just everything about the game, you know, just the little instances along the way. And we're talking about bye weeks, because now, you know, it's always talked about because it's part of the season itinerary. But we, for a long time, we didn't have those to look forward to. You just went through the 16 NFL season. And, you know, just talking about that, it is on the horizon. And it's just different, is something we have to look at.
Sometimes if it comes at the point in time where it's coming from the Bears, that's a huge break for someone who may be a little banged up, because you can perhaps get 2 weeks to rest an injury. Or if you do get banged up in this game against the Lions, because it's football, everyone gets banged up, it gives you an extra week. That's a huge deal.
I don't think the Bears are in a mindset about anybody getting banged up. It's about the next man up. And so sometimes you get on a roll and you want to stay on that roll. But sometimes, yeah, there are instances during everybody's you know, time in the NFL season that, yeah, boy, we could use a break this week. And, you know, hopefully it is coming at the right time.
You got to hear this, Ego. When you went to training camp, how long was training camp back in the day?
I don't know, five. Well, there was five games in my first training camp. So, you know, it was I don't know. We went full pads the first like 22 days. I don't know, for a long period of time, and double days every camp. But you know, it's just different now. You hate to even talk about it because it's irrelevant.
I called them days he went through gladiator football right there.
That's you called them the olden days.
That was the golden days.
But there are advantages to. I know there are a lot of players who played back in the day.
Well,
quote,
the
unquote.
Thing, the big difference is we didn't have the obligation to football that they have in their career. Our off season was off, and now their off season is accounted for by OTAs and everything.
What do you guys want to do that you have not done defensively that you need to start doing to take this team to the next level from that phase of the ball, Ego?
The biggest thing I think, and I'm just speaking for myself, is to put the fear in people. I feel like that we haven't gotten to the point where we're starting to put games together, but we haven't put that fear in nobody yet. You know what I mean? You talk about Chicago Bears defense, you talk about the 1985 defense, the mindset they had in it when they played, the type of aggressiveness they played, they scared people. People were scared of them.
You know, when the offense puts in their playbook, they put in their playbook. Is the defense ever a finished product? Are there always, like, kind of twerks that you make according to what you're going to see, if someone's healthy or someone's hurt on the opponent's offense?
Absolutely. A defense is an ongoing thing constantly through the year. Anything could change at any time.
Have you got to see, like, Vic's mind, like, how he thinks, or do you know you don't know what to expect from 1 week to the next?
You don't know what to expect with Coach Vic from week to the next.
I like that. Well, let's expect some takeaways. That's something that you guys have to do this week. Got to say goodbye for Tom Thayer and Ego Ferguson. I'm Zach Zabin. Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.